Listening to yet another one of the fine members of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find more of the member shows over at techpodcasts.com.
Sit down, buckle up, and prepare yourselves for a journey into the future.
Techluster.
Talking all things tech.
Techluster.
Electronic and sonic.
Techluster.
Well, listen, Buster.
It's a muster. Techluster. Check us out on iTunes and Twitter at Techluster. Here we go in three, two, one. Lift off.
All right, welcome to Techluster episode 23. Can't believe it. We got Lee, Aaron, and Bo walking somewhere from his work. Bo, what's up, buddy?
Not a lot. Just on a nice 3.4k walk home.
Good stuff,
and
mate.
Starting to rain too. So,
are you drawing on your chalkboard there as well, mate? While you're walking home?
No, I don't have a chalkboard. I got an iPhone, if that counts.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about PVRs now. What are the best PVRs you guys have used and recommend? I recommend the TiVo for one. And what about you, Lee?
It's got to be the Panasonic HDD recorder gadgets that you can buy from everywhere. They're universal. They do the job. They record stuff. They don't break.
And what brand was that?
Panasonic.
Panasonic, all right. And what about you, Aaron?
Oh, mate. Asus gaming laptop, HDMI connection into the telly.
Yep.
And do it all with Windows.
Sick, mate.
Good for stuff. The win.
Yep, for sure. And what about you, Bo? What do you recommend for a good PVR and media consumption device thing?
PlayStation 2's all right. I don't own
PlayStation
one.
PlayStation 2, they're fucking old.
Oh, they are, but it still works as a media center to some degree.
Really?
You can do your iView, you can do various other applications, and I'm sure once you know the applications become API code becomes accessible, that'll be, you know, you'll be able to build your own app and shit.
Cool, man. Cool. And what about TV wise, what sort of TV do you recommend for people to buy?
Not a plasma. Stay away from plasma.
23, okay,
yeah,
cool.
I'd have to second that. You know, I actually heard that a plasma television can actually cost about 9 cents an hour in electricity.
Wow.
And LCD.
I second that motion.
Yeah, LCD is something like 2 to 3 cents an hour in electricity. So it's three times as much.
Yeah.
And if you rent, oh boy, you don't want to move one of those plasmas.
No.
I also second that.
Yeah, I'm a Samsung man. Seriously, they're good.
Not an LG.
Don't get upset about LG.
LG? Mate, you can buy an LG television and plug in an external hard drive and play DivX movies on them. That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
But don't try and claim warranty.
Well, that's it. See? That was exactly what I was about to say. Is that like Samsung? Just they last, you know.
Yeah, cool. All right, and what about like content? Where do you guys get your TV shows and stuff from? Like, do you use a PVR or a boxy box or anything like that, or how do you watch your shows? Let's start with Lee. Lee's got Ozstar.
Yeah, I've got Ozstar, which I can't record because I don't pay their ransom of $20 a month for the privilege.
Okay,
but for
it's actually
recording.
$14.95 actually.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, but I've got two boxes.
Well, just buy one.
But what if we want to record twice?
Then you have to get the HD, I think.
Yeah, can't you just record two shows at one time if you have the HD master?
Yeah.
Is it one or two?
No, it's
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can. If you get the HD one, you can just record two shows at one time. And what's a different show?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's still just two connections. It's only two connections. So you can either, you can record one and watch another, or just record two and watch one of them while you're recording it. But it's only over two streams at once.
Right, so it's not... Yeah, see, I was thinking it was the third channel, as in, like, there was three.
Oh, yeah, no, it's only...
Okay. All right. And what about you, Aaron? How do you watch your stuff, mate? You got to start too.
Oh, mate, this conversation might get a little uncomfortable.
Go ahead.
So let's just talk about the Ozstar that I pay for.
Yep.
You know, just like Lee, I just pay for the basics, you know. Just when it's on, I flick it on. I'm actually not much of a TV person these days, to be completely honest.
Yeah, true.
I'm actually more so into just watching tidbits at a time on YouTube. Seems to make more sense for me.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just me.
Would you ever invest in a boxy box? Because you know for a fact you can actually watch shows from the boxy box onto your TV.
Boxy is an interesting discussion. I used to have an original Xbox and I had XBMC installed on it.
Okay.
So I'm familiar with the software. At the moment, it's just like, it just seems like you're paying a fair few hundred dollars to plug something into your telly. And then what do you get out of it? You know, besides plugging in your laptop into the telly, you know, I don't really get it personally.
Yeah, well, so it's one of these devices where you can just sit back and watch whatever you want on the internet and browse the internet, watch videos, movies, or whatever you want. You know, look at your friend's feed and you can share what you're watching on Twitter or Facebook. And then,
yeah,
you know.
Do you get access to online content? Like by that I mean like video on demand.
Yeah, you
and
do.
That sort of stuff?
You can watch like iView, ABC iView's TV shows. You can watch, you know, there's applications on there you can use. Like there's Vision 3 and that sort of good stuff, and Blimp TV application.
What about like MTV and that sort of stuff?
Oh, no, you can't watch MTV. There's no MTV sort of thing.
Oh, mate, if you can't get Jersey Shore, I'm not going to watch it. Be totally honest.
Well, that's each to your own. Like I'm, you know, the Hills are on Go, on the weekend and weekdays.
But the Hills is lame, mate. Jersey Shore is real. You know, there's a big difference.
Yeah, I thought the Hills were real.
Hey, time out, boys. Keep on topic. Come on.
All good, mate. And
keep it moving.
And what about you, Bo? What are you watching? How do you get your TV stuff, mate?
Well, at the moment it was unlimited. I just normally watch content off Justin.tv because they got a variety of unlimited, like movies constantly, different movies, and then I don't know how they play it, some software. Also TV shows too. Like there's this show called Porn, but it's not actually porn. Oh, the History Channel in America, and they it's like an antiques pawn shop, and they have interesting things come in, and then they rip people off by giving them less and selling it for more.
Oh, okay, interesting.
So yeah, it's quite entertaining.
Yeah, sounds like it.
But boys, can I please just point out with a title like did I hear porn? Is that correct?
Yeah.
P-A-W-N.
Oh, right. Okay. I was going to say, that sounds like really deceptive advertising.
Well, I think that was the idea.
Right, okay. So it's to get all the people out there who need some help to then end up watching a show they don't really want to watch.
Maybe not. See, it's spelled that way, not P-O-R-N.
But nonetheless, people are getting screwed anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And so, Lee, tell us about this new sponsor, mate, you mentioned to me this morning.
Well, this new sponsor that we're actually getting on board with is called Admiral Pacific Group.
Yeah, and someone thought this was something to do with the Army.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they did.
Wow. Okay. Well, I can tell you now, the particular group that we're talking with has got nothing to do with defense forces from any country.
Yeah, I was telling someone about it today, and that's all something to do with the Army.
Right. No, definitely not.
Okay. So, what is this? What is this company?
It's but the majority of the work that they do is in web design and hosted content sharing.
Right. Okay.
In the sense of, you know, if you've got if you want to set up an online radio station or an audio stream of some sort or a video stream, they have a cloud network that they run off. So okay. They deliver content to people. They're not overpriced. Wow. A lot of people out there, as soon as they associate the word cloud, they expect to pay huge coin for the privilege. It's actually a load of rubbish. It's not overly expensive.
Okay, cool. And you want to come on board with this podcast and tech webcast?
I certainly do. So it's, I can just see that, by backing this particular podcast and also, tech webcast, that, it's only going to help more and more people find out about the technology that they actually want to know about.
Okay. All right. So how long have you been around? Because you own this company, don't you, Lee?
I do. I'll be up front with people. I'm talking about them because I am kind of them.
Yep. Okay. So and how long have they been around for? Like, when did you start up this sort of company?
I actually changed the name of the business about 3 years ago. I started back in 2001.
Okay.
So I've been around for quite a few years now.
Right.
But I'm now known as Admiral Pacific Group simply because my previous trading name is someone else's intellectual property.
Right. Okay. Interesting.
So I decided to go with a name that is nothing like anything else I was able to find on the web.
Okay.
And simply to have some individuality about it.
All right. Good stuff, mate. Good stuff. And when's the new website coming along?
Is this for us or...?
For you?
It's currently being built. I've got my graphic designer currently nutting out some pretty artwork to pretty it up because it's a bit boring at the moment.
Cool.
But so I'm expecting probably within the next week it'll actually have some content. And if anyone's visited the website so far, yes, it's boring. It looks like I've put no effort into it. I've only been working on it for 2 weeks now. Mm-hmm. So it'll be up and running very soon.
All right, good stuff. Now, you've got John on board. Why? Is John part of that company?
He certainly is. John's actually a coder that I give work to when we've got that sort of work on.
Okay. Good stuff. All right, well, we'll stay tuned for more from that, and it's good to have you guys on board, and if we need to use it, we will, and sounds good. All right, Aaron, any tech news you want to talk about, mate, before off the Oz Tech News site?
Yeah, sure. Let's talk about the Motorola Zoom.
Sure.
It's hotly debated at the moment. We're in a world where, like, this year is owned by the iPad. Let's just put it out there.
Yep.
Everyone's getting obliterated. And it seems like the Motorola Zoom was the great big hope of any other tablet being significant this year. And there's a lot of debate on the net right now whether it's a flop or not. Personally, I'm saying yes, because they launched this year, it's a flop. The main problem with tablets right now is that nobody can compete with Apple because they can sell them the cheapest, which is quite unusual for Apple.
Mm-hmm.
They're always usually the most expensive in a selection. But the Motorola Zoom, for example, came out in the US for about $800 US. And with 3G built in, and that was the first mistake straight away, because you could go to any other shop and buy a Wi-Fi iPad for half as much. Now, with the March numbers, they've come in now. Apple sold 2.4 million iPad 2s in March alone.
Good stuff.
That's massive. That is definitely massive. And Motorola sold like 100,000 Zooms. So the debate is 100,000 tablets sold against the mighty iPad 2, is that a bust? And everyone's divided on it. I would say it is a flop, mainly for the fact that probably half of those 100,000 tablets that they sold in the US were just because nobody could get an iPad 2 instead. And there's plenty of people out there with money to burn who are willing to buy one of those, play with it for a month, and then toss it when they can get an iPad 2 when Apple get more over to the country. But otherwise, I can't see it really making any sort of impact internationally. Mm-hmm. I would actually doubt whether it gets launched outside of the US, to be completely honest. What's your thoughts?
Personally, I'm sticking with the iPad 2. That's my answer. I don't know about Lee or Bo. What do you guys think?
I'm actually looking at getting myself a Android pad of some sort. I'm not sure which flavor or by which manufacturer, but I'm considering going Android just simply because you know, most of the Android market releases that I've seen, you know, it, except for, of course, this Motorola offering, have been, you know, up to half the price of the iPad with, you know, very similar functionality.
Well, right now, the only tablet devices that are Android that you're going to get cheaper than the iPad are going to be stuff from like Huawei and all them, and they're using like Android 2.2 or 2.3, which is a phone operating system, and they're all 7-inch in size. So, and they're all just nasty crap. Yeah, it's really not going to the apps aren't going to work very well. The touch response isn't as good as an Android 3.0. Really, the only credible competitors right now are the Android 3.0 devices. So the Zoom is one of them, and Samsung just released the Galaxy Tab 10.1, and that'll be coming to Australia actually really soon. We'll actually be able to consider that one.
Oh, cool! That's probably a step in the right direction.
Okay. Well, sure. If you were going to go Android, then yeah, the 10.1 is going to be sold by Vodafone. If anyone ever wanted to give money to them, but they are actually they're selling it outright. They only have the 3G model. Everyone's doing this for whatever reason. You can buy it outright and then use anybody's SIM cards in the device. It's just that Vodafone are the people that you buy it from.
Right. That doesn't make a world of sense, but anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's actually interesting the pricing strategy that Vodafone are doing. The subsidized model costs the same overall as buying it outright. So it's sort of like you could actually buy the Galaxy Tab 10.1 on the subsidized model, and it would be something like $39 a month or something like that, and you get 1.5 gigs of data transfer a month with that what you pay for, and it's only a 12-month contract. And I think it adds up to be about $2 or $3 less than paying the outright price to just get it outright in the first place. The only difference, of course, is that the tab is going to be SIM locked to Vodafone during that 12 months. So if you don't care about 3G, and honestly, I can't imagine that you would, because no matter who you get it from, it's just going to be frustratingly slow anyway. And you just get it subsidized for bugger all from Vodafone. Ignore the SIM card. And then just use it as a Wi-Fi tablet, which is what most people do with iPad 2 anyway. Then you've got a sort of decent, option there.
Yeah, I know what I mean? I can see where you're coming from there, particularly with the subsidisation. I actually just cancelled all of my contracts with Vodafone simply because, even if it was subsidised, I would actually go and put a Telstra SIM in it, simply for the fact that their network actually works.
Could you actually imagine yourself using a 10-inch tablet outside of the home, though?
Yeah, probably on the train.
What would you do?
Use it for email, which is what I currently use my laptop for, which weighs a ton.
What kind of phone you got?
iPhone 4.
And is that with, what, Telstra or something? Or?
Yes.
Because you could always just... do Wi-Fi hotspot on your phone.
Yeah, I've got a spare Telstra SIM for a data plan for my laptop just in a stick. So I was just going to cram that straight into my tablet of some sort and use that.
Yeah.
I've already got the data service. It's not the data service. It's just the actual gadget. I'm so undecided on.
Mm. Well, perhaps you're like, I mean, you're the exception to the rule, but it sounds like that is in Australia, that is the only mentionable option to the iPad 2, and perhaps only the only reason why you would get that instead of an iPad 2 this year is just so that you don't have to pay an upfront price. Because really, like in the situation I described, if you have a decent phone with Wi-Fi hotspot, which most people do now, and then you just sort of get whatever tablet, you can just broadcast to that. And you could actually use Vodafone's subsidization model to just ignore the SIM card and have it out and about whenever you want anyway, just using the internet off your phone. Then you've got to talk about, is Android 3.0 better than iOS? And it's not. Honestly, it's not. I mean... The thing about any consumer product is that you don't buy the first one that's been brought to market because it always had problems. And everyone's saying that about Android 3.0. It's sluggish in some areas. The browser can be a bit slow at times and all that. And it definitely needs an update. And the problem with Android, of course, is that you're at the carrier's mercy to get the update, even if Google bring one out. So it just seems like there's no point in considering anything other than the iPad this year.
Mm. Well, I completely think it's different.
It's quite a hot topic.
Well, it is a hot topic, and I agree with Aaron in some way. But you go and buy an iPad 16 gig, use a hotspot on the iPhone, you're good to go. That's what you need, personally. But
and it's dirt cheap. Yeah,
it's cheap. Yeah.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's funny, the tablet wars, there is no tablet war.
No, there's
not. It's just a tablet massacre.
You just pick what you want to use and then use it. That's exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
A tablet massacre. I like that. It's so true.
Yeah. I think it's going to be funny next year when Windows 8 comes out. I think that people are really underestimating Windows 8 because the only way that you can compete with Apple with tablets right now is not what Motorola are doing with the Zoom. That's just retarded. You're not going to release something that's a bit more expensive and hope people will just want that instead to not be a conformist or something like that. It's dumb. People just side with their wallets.
Mm.
What Microsoft are going to do with the strategy, the only way you can attack Apple right now is to give people the mentality of why would you buy an actual computer and an iPad? Because the iPad will never be an actual computer. It's a toy, you know. At the end of the day, it is just a toy. I mean, Toys R Us are going to start selling the iPad too, right? What Microsoft are going to say is, why would you buy two different devices when you could just buy one? And the concept is going to be that if you stare at your laptop right now and just rip the screen off the actual laptop part, that's what they're going to do with Windows 8. So the idea is that you can have a, in quotations, tablet, which you can sort of take around with the house with you or take it out with you or whatever. And then when you get back home, you can sort of dock it onto a laptop-type chassis or even into a standard dock with a monitor, keyboard, and mouse and all sort of stuff. And the same device would serve both purposes. Mm. And so when you start doing a price comparison of buying a MacBook and an iPad 2 versus buying one of these Windows 8 devices, then you're actually starting to talk about beating Apple at the price game.
Right, right. Is Bo still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Now, Bo, let's get your view on all this, mate. The iPad 2, is it a toy?
It is. Well, seemingly my dad's not very computer literate. He seems to be able to use it, so I'll put it down to that. I sort of agree. Seeming he can use it. That otherwise, if he couldn't use it, then I'd say maybe not. But
yeah.
For him who uses no computer at all and can actually use it, it is.
Yeah, I sort of agree. Yeah, I don't know. What do you reckon, Lee?
It's just made easy for people who don't,
It is very easy to use, and I think iPads will go off and the great devices.
Yeah, that's it. I think they are a bit of a toy, like a sort of a gadgety thing. When I was younger, the in thing to do was to have one of those fake mathematics laptops that every Tom, Dick, and Harry wanted, And I kind of put all these tablets and all these gadgetry things that are worth mega moon beans into that category.
Wow.
Okay. When I was doing a job last year down in Sydney, and the head of IT for this company I was working for, he said something to me which just makes me laugh every time I think of it. But he says, "Apple is the Fisher Price of computing." And it's because the thing is, right,
that is a really bold statement.
That is very bold, but the reason why is because is what he said afterwards. He says that something is a legit device when it's good enough to use at work. And like, it's so easy to just think like, shut up, idiot. Like what has that got to do with anything? Like there's millions of people out there with their iPads sitting at home, just happy to use that. But the thing is that, they're a bit of a security nightmare. And a lot of people are struggling with this at the moment where some CEO will walk in, drop an iPad on their IT department's desk and says, make this work in our corporate network, and they can't. It's pretty crippled. It's built with consumers in mind, and everyone, particularly financial services, everyone, they all use Active Directory, domain policy, Microsoft Server technologies, you know, and these things are never going to work quite well with that. The operating system doesn't use what's it called, address dynamic spacing randomization, which is built into Windows Vista and Windows 7 and all that. So they become actual security nightmares for if you lost one and people started sort of looking at what was used in RAM and that sort of stuff. So even if you made it self-destruct, the RAM is still an imprint of what you'd been working on and your device and all that. The banks and anyone who has any sort of meaning to the world, they can't use these things in the workplace and probably never can until iOS got rewritten from the ground up. Even Mac OS X doesn't have ADSR built into it. So they're a security risk in the workplace as well. And this is what this guy is saying, is that like if you can't use it at work, then you can't call it, you can't even sit it alongside the PC and call it an equal solution or even in the same realm. And it's like he made the convincing argument, you know, when you think about it, he was absolutely right. And so that's why, Windows tablets, it's funny how everyone's going, Microsoft shouldn't even bother. Mate, 90% of all IT spending is done in the workplace. So it's like, of course they should bother, because all of a sudden Apple is spending all this money educating people into the thought of using tablets and touchscreens to do their computing with instead of keyboards and mice. And then Microsoft will make all the money from it because they'll get all the majority of the spending on these sorts of devices, because that's what people will buy for the workplace. And then they'll take them home, you
know? Exactly, exactly, yeah. And I personally, the iPad too. I reckon, you know, you can still do a lot with the iPad. You can watch movies and use it as a, worth the internet and stuff and watch videos. I reckon it's good, great. But, you know, I don't think it's a toy personally. That's my opinion anyway. I don't know.
I mean, just on the topic of companies using it, our local Shire have actually given all their staff an iPad, and they're using VPN and Citrix for most of their workings now. So they just have Citrix and they just go into their account and use it like it's a PC from their home.
Yeah, well, I'm to understand that there's probably about 3 to 4 major VPN technologies that that the enterprise use, and like 1 or 2 of them are supported by the iPad, not all of them. So there's like plenty of IT departments who are either spewing or cheering based on their past decisions for VPN technologies. You know, like a Windows tablet, for example, would support all of them because you just expect that. So it's like the iPad 2 is so popular that some people are actually redesigning their corporate networks to use technologies that the iPad can actually support and the iPhone can actually support. But it's all very lame still. Yeah.
Anyway, let's get to the next topic. Now, Lee, I was telling you a story about One HD. Next month, they're relaunching the channel. They're going to be actually playing HD TV shows such as Cops and Sons of Anarchy and that sort of good stuff.
What?
One HD.
Really?
Is going to be...
Oh, yeah, that's right. They're getting rid of the sports, aren't they?
Not completely, but they're actually just relaunching the with entertainment.
What they're doing is... You know, it's still going to have your AFL, your MotoGP, Formula One, all the stuff that you come to expect from One HD when it was originally launched. But they've got things coming to it like Breakout Kings, Lights Out, all these different things that are now coming to the Ten network under the One HD banner. And, they're going to start running entertainment. And I think that's simply because that they've worked out that they're starting to lose out ratings in terms of,
Oh, I just don't understand how that can be possible. Now they've got 11.
Not sure. Don't know,
Matt. That's exactly...
I mean, 11's got all the great content.
That's it. It's a very confusing move by a TV station.
Yeah, well, it is, actually. I mean, that makes me scratch my head. I'm just thinking, well, we don't have a sports channel, so that makes sense to have one.
Yep.
Maybe not on HD. Maybe they should have put 11 on HD instead of the sports, but I guess people want their... Well, maybe they were thinking in the future, if they had HD, they could do their whole 3D vision television programming. I don't know.
I know exactly what the problem is. There's two of them. First of all, when have you ever seen an ad for 11 on TV?
Never.
Only when it was first launching.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, but One HD is advertised all the time.
Yeah, so that's true.
It's a branding issue. Everyone sort of goes, everyone knows that they can get their digital TV and sort of say, well, we can watch Channel 10 or we can watch One HD because people think that's all that exists. So people think like, oh, One HD, hey, HD, yeah, HD TV. I want to see that stuff. And they get in there. It's all just bloody sport. So people go, it's worthless to me. No one watches it.
Oh,
and then
true.
second of all, why would you be dumb enough to launch a sport channel? People only watch sport on the weekends when they're pissed.
Well,
I second that motion.
So during the week, people want to watch Days of Our Lives and they want to watch Oprah and that sort of stuff. You know, that's what people who sit at home all day watch.
Yeah.
So it makes perfect sense to sort of can most of the cricket and that sort of stuff and just focus on all the dribble that people watch during the day because that's what they want.
Mm.
And then they want to flick on Play School for their kids, you know, when they get home at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. It's all about serving the demographic. And when everyone only knows that One HD exists, then that's got to be the one that serves up the content that people actually want to see, not just the stuff they want to see when they're drunk.
All right.
It's got to be a little depressing to assume that people are drunk every day of the week. And let's just say that most people aren't.
Yes, they are.
glass half full, mate. Channel 10 could easily do this. They could swap 11's programming with One HD and make millions of more dollars.
Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
But the only problem, I know some of the 11 programming, it's not in HD format or widescreen. It's in 4.3. Standard.
Yeah.
Which sort of
sucks. They haven't dedicated the same sort of funds. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Aussie Tech Heads were just talking about this on Thursday night as well. They were, I think it was Channel 7, for example. The main Channel 7 HD channel isn't quite HD at all, whereas like 7 Mate is like 1080p or something. It's because they dedicate the extra bandwidth to the channels that they think are going to be most popular. So One HD by far is the most well-known channel. And deserves the most effort into broadcasting HD because that's where most people are directing their attention to.
All right. Okay. Next thing before we go, we've got to finish up. It's gone over 30 minutes. Lee, what do you want to say before we go, mate?
Yeah, I just wanted to say a quick thing about something I found floating around the net.
Sure.
This is going back to the whole tablet thing. I've just found that Asus actually do a Windows 7 tablet.
Oh, nice.
It's a 12-inch tablet, so it's pretty much a laptop. But it's got Windows 7 Premium on it.
Okay, well, that's not Apple. I'm not.
And it. you remember what I said earlier, Brad?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Apple have got to start giving you money, mate.
Yes. Where are the endorsements? We should all have free Apple stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
How am I meant to be a convertee if I don't have free Apple stuff floating around me?
Hmm. Well, both are going to. Well, Bo's got an iPhone 4.
Asus tablet is 3 times the cost of an iPad.
Oh, wow. Okay, I hadn't got that far.
Because it's a laptop. It's not a tablet. It's just a laptop with no keyboard on it. It's got like 64-bit Windows. It's got 4 gigs of RAM in it or something like that. I actually think it might even have 8 gigs of RAM.
It's got an i5.
I like the keyboard.
Yeah, it's got an i5 CPU in it. It's a monster. I mean, too bad there's no DVD drive or Blu-ray drive because it could support that sort of playback. Instead you can watch 1080p on YouTube.
Hang on, I'll find out. Question.
I think it's a 1 gig video card in it. Like it's a real computer, just with no input in it other than a touchscreen. They're trying to pitch it as something that you can dock. And, that's just going back to what I was saying earlier. This year, you can't educate the market to buy that sort of device. Next year, absolutely. Absolutely. And Windows 7 isn't going to work as a touchscreen device anyway. So it's just a waste of time. Asus waste their money. And it's almost as bad as what Acer brought out just recently, which is a dual touchscreen device. and the battery lasts for about 2 hours. You know,
yeah.
I'm telling you, you got to be able to beat Apple on price. And the only way to do that is to compete against laptops, not tablets. The game is over. Apple won this year.
All right.
Google shouldn't even bother supporting Android 3.0 this year. It's just a waste of time.
So, Aaron, are you going to get an iPad too, mate? Or you're not going to worry about it?
No, not me. My wife's got an iPad 1. I use that sometimes. I just really like the NBA Game Time app. Every once in a while, I look at my newsfeed on that instead of my iPhone.
Okay.
But other than that, I don't really have a use for it. If I'm going to have the time to do anything, I'll be writing articles. I'm busy all the time with my website.
Well, you know, there's a WordPress app for the iPad.
Yeah, mate, go to austechnews.com and there's a category called It's War.
Yeah.
And basically that entire category of the site is dedicated to WordPress for iOS. I hate that app.
Really?
It is shit.
Yeah.
It is so terrible.
I do have to agree, Aaron. As a big WordPress user, yes, it is absolutely rubbish. It doesn't let you do 3/4 of the thing that I can do using TeamViewer.
Oh, I can do without most of the features. But the primary problem with WordPress for iOS is that iOS is the only mobile operating system that doesn't support garbage collection. So it's quite easy for when an app is trying to work with a big amount of data, such as a 2,000-word article, it crashes.
Yeah.
And there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah, it does actually.
Yeah. So I find that all the time. If I write a long article, it'll crash and I'll lose my writing. Drives me nuts. Oh, I don't use it. I use an Android phone.
That sucks.
I've got a second phone and a Desire HD, and I use that just for using WordPress because it actually works.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah, WordPress on Android seems to be all right.
All right. Any last words, babe, before we go, mate, because it's gone over 35 minutes?
Not really. Just that I'm going to be stuck here for a while because it's pissing down.
good luck with that, mate.
Yeah, good luck, mate.
Yeah.
Aaron, yeah. Any last words, mate, before we go, mate? You guys back next week. Good stuff. And Lee and Bo.
Maybe, yes. Oh, yeah, I don't have to work next week, so I'll be home.
All right, mate. Maybe you can plan the podcast.
All right, I can give that a shot.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
And Aaron, reckon they find you on the internet, mate?
Mate, look me up on Twitter. It's OzTechNews, O-Z, Tech News.
Yep.
I really encourage people to ask me questions and that sort of stuff anytime. Always happy to talk to people. And then just the site as well, which is all full of social content. It's OzTechNews.com.
And you need more writers too. And Lee, where can they find you on Twitter, mate?
On Twitter, I'm not Twitterized yet.
Oh,
I don't actually post anything on there, so don't bother. But I've just set up my blog. I've finally set myself up a blog. It's lee.alamandfamily.info. I'll put a link on the bottom so you guys can actually find it and spell it.
There's nothing on it at the moment. It's
good things take time.
Is it an empty page?
It's an empty page.
Is it a dark room?
I'm sure the first post will be about how graphic designers take way too long to get website designs done to start a business to support a podcast. I'm just guessing, Bobby.
I'll manage to get you to write me that one.
Sure, it's a deal.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to yet another one of the fine members of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Find more of the member shows over at techpodcasts.com.
You have been listening to TechLuster. Don't forget, follow TechLuster on Twitter at TechLuster. That's TechLuster. And keep coming back for more at iTunes. Embrace the future of the human race. Catch us next time. Respect.